Well, good morning, everybody. It is probably no surprise that the title for the message this morning is Joy. I'm going to start with a reading from Romans 15, verses 7 to 13. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Since speaking the last time, I'd been working on a message about peace. And then it suddenly struck me that this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, focuses on rejoicing in joy. A topic that I have to be honest, I have really struggled with over the past 12 years, if not longer. After taking a year-long break from speaking in church a couple of years ago, I only returned to delivering messages every third Sunday after the Lord confirmed in my heart that this was his will for me right now. I have been committed ever since to speaking only on things that the Lord has communicated to me and has made real in my own life. Joy has been a problematic subject. I cannot, in good conscience, stand here and speak to you about being filled with joy if I'm not experiencing the joy of the Lord in my own life. I've spent the past 2 weeks examining my own understanding of joy, reflecting on why I have been so reluctant, almost unable, to live joyfully, even though I know full well everything Christ has done for me throughout my life. I'm going to veer off for a moment and share some observations I've made already this month. It's a big month for me. There should be a great deal in the month ahead to fill me with joy, more than in any other December that I can remember. My first set of observations is from my grandson Kit's first birthday on the 4th of December. As a December baby, Kit will annually begin the month with an abundance of gifts and finish the month with an abundance of gifts. He had three separate birthday parties, one with all of the little friends he's made in the baby group that Megan's been taking him to for most of his little life, one with his parents and grandparents on the evening of his birthday, and another one last Saturday with the extended family, which I was unable to attend. He was showered with gifts at all three, and became quite good at ripping off wrapping paper on his own. As I watched him open his gifts on the night of his birthday, I was struck by the sheer joy he got from the shreds of paper, the ribbons and bows, and the boxes and bags that held the gifts that had been bought for him. He appeared to enjoy the process of unwrapping things as much as the gift itself. He was genuine, unselfconscious, and fully immersed in the moment. Once a parcel was opened, he was eager for the next one so that he could go through the whole routine again. I began reflecting on my own difficulty in simply enjoying the present. That is, finding joy in the present here and now moments of life. I fear that being a Christian has made this even harder for me over the years as I succumb to extreme overthinking about just about everything, questioning whether God would be pleased or if whatever I'm doing or experiencing is in line with his perfect will for me. Am I being obedient and pleasing to him? Essentially, what I do is spoil every moment of life by overanalyzing myself and questioning whether I'm getting it right. Kit felt under no obligation to be or do anything as he opened the gifts that loved ones had given him on his birthday. He just enjoyed the experience. Kit has no worries or cares. His trusting one-year-old brain does not question whether his needs will be met. He lives his life in total dependence on his parents. He does not question if he is loved. He simply lives as a child who is loved. If he is in pain or tired or frustrated, he is honest in his communication about those needs and expects to be soothed and comforted and restored to peace by his loving parents. He does not question if he is worthy or if he has been good enough, or if perhaps his parents might be angry with him and choose not to help him in his time of need. Equally, when he's enjoying himself with fun activities and experiences, he exudes pure joy. What then does my struggle with joy say about my relationship with the Lord? The bottom line answer to that is that it demonstrates a lack of trust in him. That's a painful realization. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus says to God the Father, John 17:13, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Jesus is joyful. His birth brought joy to the world. The shepherds were told in Luke 2, verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" The Magi understood, Matthew 2, 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." What was this joy all about? How does our relationship with Jesus bring us joy? David tells us that it is God's presence in our lives that gives us joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Jesus was sent to earth by God to a particular place at a particular time to fulfill a plan he had from the moment his creation chose their own desires over obedience to him in Genesis chapter 3. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Jesus came to God's chosen people who lived under a law they could not keep, with hearts that did not truly love the God who made them and called them his own. They were oppressed by both their own religious practices and by the world around them. They were not joyful people. This moves me on to my second set of observations this month. Although I've found great satisfaction and purpose in the career that God's blessed me with for over 40 years, my impending retirement has offered a new insight into the joy that Christ came to earth to give us. I have spent so much of my life working hard, bearing an enormous load of responsibility, struggling with doing it all as I have raised my family while working full-time, with no real break apart from 3 very short maternity leaves and annual summer breaks. I was showered with gifts last Sunday when I went out for Sunday lunch with my team of teaching assistants. One of the gifts I received was a candle in a jar that had this message written on the label: "Smells like it is not your problem anymore. Happy retirement." The joy I feel at finally reaching a point in my life where I can officially unburden myself from the load of a responsible job and the requirement to allocate 50 plus hours a week to full-time employment is truly unspeakable. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God restore us to a right relationship with God the Father if we accept His salvation through faith. We must trust Him as though we are small children who live rooted in the belief that we are loved and protected and provided for. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 18:3, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." As a child of God, nothing in our lives is our problem anymore. And therein lies the joy, despite the circumstances we might find ourselves in. Salvation means that we are forgiven and redeemed and free to live in confidence that our trust in God ensures He will deal with the detail of our lives. After making a series of very poor decisions in his life, David says to the Lord in Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." It is our faith in Him that pleases Him. In Hebrews 11:6 we read, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Our trust in Him is what keeps us obedient, as we know without doubt that His will is superior to anything we might think of or desire for ourselves. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." God's love for us and His presence in our lives fills us with joy and frees us to fully enjoy the good gifts He showers upon us, because we know they have come directly from Him. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Joy grows within us as an outcome of our surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. As we release control of our own lives and offer ourselves to Him in complete assurance that He will transform us into His own image, we will see the fruit of His Spirit grow in our lives. These qualities are not dependent on circumstances. They are dependent on our surrender to and faith in God and His will for our lives. Galatians 5:22 reminds us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." In order to experience these things, we must relinquish control, let go of the burdens of life, and receive His free gift of salvation. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Our genuine faith and trust in Him is absolutely pivotal. In 1 Peter 1, verse 7 to 9, "That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Our joy as Christians is in direct proportion to our faith and trust in Christ and in what He has achieved on our behalf. Jesus has given us direct access to God, the creator of all things, for whom nothing is impossible. Once we are reconciled to him, the God of the universe promises to care for our every need. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This means every care, whether those cares are concerns about our own needs, or the needs of our family, or the needs of a very broken and hurting world. All of our cares must be handed over to him, because he loves us and has a perfect solution for all the problems confronting us here on this earth. I have repeatedly failed to trust God fully in my life, especially during very difficult periods where the pain I have experienced has been intense. When you do not trust God as a loving Father who has a perfect plan for your life, it's easy to view hard times as some sort of punishment. My doubt over the years has stemmed from an erroneous view that God has been displeased and unhappy with me most of the time. This simply is not true and has been a lie that Satan has used over the years to steal my joy. The following verse paints a picture of what is true and foreshadows the coming of the Messiah from Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Joy differs from happiness in significant ways. Joy can exist simultaneously with painful periods of life. Joy abides as an ongoing attitude of heart and mind that is confident in God's love, God's care, God's provision, and God's ultimate victory over the power of the enemy. Happiness comes and goes and relies totally on positive circumstances. The good news of the birth of Christ that shepherds, magi, and angels rejoiced over was the advent of, the arrival of, the final solution for the problem of our separation from God and our bondage to a world held in Satan's grasp. We are now able to face every step of our lives in the confident assurance that in him all will be well. And that is truly something to rejoice over. Romans 15:13 reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Even in the darkest night, when our human pain seems intolerable, we know that we are the child of the King who will turn what Satan meant as evil into our ultimate good. Psalm 16:6 says, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." A week from tomorrow, my son James and his long-term partner Megan are finally getting married. This brings me immense joy. I have waited for this event for over 15 years. Even in secular society, there are many good reasons for getting married, despite the current cultural norms of not doing so. As with many elements of life here on earth, weddings point to something true and good and spiritual. Weddings foreshadow what we as believers are waiting for: Christ's return to the earth to claim us as his bride for all of eternity. Marriage is a symbol of commitment, the choosing of one individual to do life with, and a formal declaration of the forsaking of all others. The book of Revelation finishes with this reminder from Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 10. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus came to this earth that our joy might be full. This joy is real and rooted in God's love for us and in our faith in him. Joy comes from our connection with him and is not dependent on circumstances. Guard that joy. Choose to trust him because he is trustworthy. Enjoy the good gifts he sends to you and rejoice in him during the times when life is hard and painful. Christians who do not exude joy to the outside world are poor advocates of God's love. We should be filled with joy unspeakable as we look to him to guide us safely to that wedding day that we so eagerly await. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the journey that you've taken me on over many years to understand what joy really is. I am so grateful that I now can understand that every moment of my existence as a believer is joyful. I have perfect confidence that you love me and care for me and will provide for my needs. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of all who have listened today so that they too can live their lives exuding the joy that you came on this earth to give us, that we might live in it to be representatives of your joy in a world that doesn't know joy. I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We know that as human beings, we cannot make ourselves into the people that you would like us to be, but your Holy Spirit is transforming us. And we believe that in faith, and now we have confidence that your promises are true. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your love and for the joy that you brought to us in your salvation. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.